Okay, Proverbs chapter 4. Over the summer, Pastor Darren has asked a couple of guys to teach on different things. Brother Reinhardt got up and had a handout. And then Dr. Mitchell was all impressed that he had a better handout than Brother Reinhardt. And I have absolutely no handout. So, because I don't believe in handouts. Amen. I mean, you know, I think you should work for what you get. Anyway. So I am going to teach tonight, and he asked me to teach about education. Quite fitting, right? School starting up. All the challenge for everyone to get more edumacated, as they say. Proverbs chapter 4, I want to speak on the essentials of education. The essentials of education. Proverbs 4, verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. You thought Mr. Reinhardt was the principal thing. No, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. You say, well, what's the difference? Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and the opportunity to be in church. And Lord, that all of true education is going to come from you and from the Bible, and from truth and real facts. We ask that you will help us to understand this idea, this concept of education, so that we can apply it to our lives and to the lives of our children. If we don't understand education, we're not going to have a very good education. So, Lord, help us to really understand some of the terms that you use in your word that will make it more clear to us, and that we'll walk away from here more filled with a desire to be properly educated. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever thought about what's needed to get an education? Think about it. What does it take to get an education? I think most people would say, well, you know, if you got a student, you got a teacher, and you got a textbook, that's a pretty good start, right? Not exactly. You know, I could take you to a lot of classrooms that have students, teachers, and textbooks, and not much by way of education's going on there. So it goes more than just that. The Bible gives us exactly what's needed. And the Bible uses some different terms. Knowledge, instruction, understanding, and wisdom. You might say, well, what's the difference? They're all about the same. Not really. They're not the same at all. That's why he uses different words. So I want to look at these tonight. Let me just quickly explain the difference between the four, and those are the four essentials of education, at least the ones that we're going to talk about tonight. I'm sure there's more that you could find. But one I want to talk to tonight about, these four, knowledge would be the first one, and that involves truths and facts, okay? When we say knowledge, we're talking about getting the truth. And then instruction. This is the means to transmit those truths or those facts. Understanding is an apprehension of what's been taught. Okay, so you can have knowledge, and you can have instruction, but that doesn't necessarily mean you have understanding. Then wisdom is the application of facts and instruction that has been imparted to you. Okay, a lot of times people hear things, but they don't do anything with it because they don't have any wisdom. So we're going to talk about all four of these, and I hope I give you a little better understanding about the essentials of education. And again, by the way, education is not just for students in a classroom. All of us should be continuing to learn throughout life. I always want to learn more and more and more and more and more. I know a lot of people like to read pleasure books. I don't. If I'm going to spend my time reading, I want to learn something. I want to walk away from it saying, I'm going to be better from having read that thing. And so we need to take a look at each of these essentials, whether they're kids or adults, so we can advance in our own education. Okay? Because wisdom is the what? It's the principal thing. Now, you need knowledge, you need instruction, and then you need understanding so that you can have wisdom. You're not going to get wisdom until you have knowledge of this truth, until you get some instruction, and until you get an understanding of all of that. A lot of times people think they understand something because they heard it once and they don't understand it. You're not going to have wisdom for life and applying, you know, the truth to life until you get all the facts, until you get facts, until you get truth. You need some things to be imparted to you so you can have wisdom. We say, well, I can pray for wisdom. You can, and we should. The Bible teaches we should pray for wisdom. But we should also do something to get it, like open our hearts and our heads and our ears. And so I want to talk about all four of them. First one is knowledge. The definition of knowledge, a clear and certain perception of that which exists, or a perception of truth and fact. Okay, this is what I talked about earlier. It's truth and facts. Okay, I know there's a lot of quote-unquote bad knowledge out there, but true knowledge is truth and facts. The foundation for all education is knowledge. You've got to have some knowledge. Instruction, understanding, and wisdom, they all depend upon knowledge. For example, wisdom, again, as we said, is the application of the truth, of the facts. What if the facts are wrong? What happens then when you try to apply wrong facts to living? What happens? Things go wrong, don't they? Because you can't apply the wrong facts and get a good result. Remember, in years gone by, doctors believed that certain diseases were contained in a person's blood, they thought if they drained out the person's blood, they'd get better. Well, the Bible says the life of the flesh is in what? It's in the blood. Okay? The true fact was, if they just knew the Bible, the true fact was life is in the blood. If you take the blood out, you're going to die. But they didn't have the right knowledge. And because they had the wrong knowledge, they tried to apply, when they went to apply it to their life, it all crumbled. So it does matter what you stick into your head. That's why you shouldn't be pumping your mind full of stupidity and filth and raunch and garbage and worldly philosophies all the time, or any of the time. We need to be filling our mind with truth, with the Bible. You know, I'm lonely when I'm driving down the road. Well, plug in a sermon. You know, do something. You got that Bible on MP3s and every other kind of things. MP4s, and we'll probably have MP25s pretty soon. As Christians, we're blessed to have the Bible as our source of knowledge. Aren't you happy you know where to turn to get the answers for life? There's not any question in life out there that can't be answered by the Bible. And what changes lives when we come to church? Is it a preacher's theories or his opinions? No. It's the truth. It's knowledge that we can take and apply to our lives. Now, if you want to, you can turn to Hosea chapter 4. If you don't, I'm just going to read a couple of verses. Hear the word, this is verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. Okay? God's not happy with the people. And it goes on and says, why? Because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Now notice that truth and knowledge are mentioned together. They didn't have truth and they didn't have knowledge. They didn't have those things, and so God was not happy with them. God's not happy with us when we're not filling our minds with the truth. When we're not actively trying to learn more and more and more. There's not a switch that you switch off when you get a certain age. Well, I don't need to learn anymore. Actually, the older I get, the more I realize I don't know anything. I need to learn more, and I want to learn more. And what happens when people are educated with a lack of truth? They're given facts that aren't right. They're not given facts that aren't wrong. They're not given truth, something that they can hang their hat on and change their lives. The Bible goes down on to say there in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, he said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Homes are destroyed because they lack knowledge of what to do. People don't get into the Bible and find out, Lord, what do I need? I know we hear the preaching and we should apply it. I understand all that. But we forget, don't we? What can we do? Take the Bible and apply it to our lives again. Go right back to the Bible and study again and put it into our hearts and in our heads and put it into practice. He says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Education's not boring, my friends. It's your life. And when we reject knowledge and truth, we get the stiff arm of Almighty God. Because He's the source of truth. Man, when we come into church and someone gets up and says, I'm going to preach on such and such, you say, well, man, I've heard this before. That is a rotten attitude. You've just rejected it. Don't be surprised when God rejects your prayers. How many lives are in shambles because of a lack of truth? Early this summer, I went back to visit my parents in Connecticut, in my hometown where I went to high school. And John and I went by to visit my coach and to try to witness to my coach. And while we were there, we got to talking about some of the other people who I went to school with. And as we talked about them, one of them's in jail and has been in jail for a number of years. Another guy is dead because he just drank himself to death. Another guy's been in a nursing home. He said, I think he's still in the nursing home or something. I think he's been there for... It was shortly after we finished high school. He went out drunk driving and killed somebody. And he basically became a vegetable. He's just been in a nursing home for the last number of years. Almost 30 years. Another guy, he was a year behind me. He was on the basketball team also. He was a smart kid. I mean, really sharp kid. You figure this guy's going somewhere in life. The guy, I said, what's happening with this guy? He says, he works at a pizza shop, and he just kind of walks up and down the streets, wandering around. He has no real purpose in life. And I'm thinking, every single one of those guys were bright people. Not one of them was foolish, as worldly, yes, foolish, but they were all intelligent. They all had some brains to them. But not one of their lives turned out. And I could tell you the stories about others too, but they all had a messed up life. Why? They didn't have truth. I look at my life, that the only reason that I am not like one of them is that God was merciful. I have the truth. And when you don't get the truth in your life and you don't have the right knowledge, it just leads to being destroyed. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. How many families have been destroyed because they lack knowledge? How many people's finances are in a mess because they lack knowledge of what to do with it? They won't study the Bible and find out, what am I supposed to do? It's good to come to church. It's good to learn. It's good to listen. But it's also good for us to go and get into the book ourselves and find those truths and make them our own. How many times have we heard we come to church so that we get some Bible verses and we go home and study it for ourselves and have devotions over it or have family devotions over it or something to get into it, to get it into our own lives. We need the right knowledge. We don't need being spoon-fed. That's what my 1 and 2-year-olds did. You know, you'd spoon-feed them. I guess there was a 2-year-old that needed to be spoon-fed because they wouldn't eat. We had to force that one to eat. We often hear a lot about on the radio and the news. Man, we need more education. We need to improve our education. So what is their solution when they say they need to improve the education? They need to pour more money into the school systems, right? Can I suggest a better solution? Why don't we pour more truth into the students' minds? How many multi-million dollar complexes did they have in George Washington's day? Did he turn out pretty good? Did he know a lot? Those guys, a lot of our founding fathers, those early people, they knew multiple languages. We're all a bunch of dunces compared to the average person back then. I mean, just go back not long, it was long for us, but go back to Spurgeon's day. Sometimes you read him and say, man, he's deep, he uses those big words. He was considered such a common man, he was considered an uneducated man. And we read him and say, wow, that's deep. In his day, they said, man, this guy, he's too common. He doesn't know anything. What have we become? We don't know anything. It's not more money. We need more truth. We need more knowledge. Paul described it well when he said in 2 Timothy 3:7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Doesn't that describe our society? Are we not living in the end times? So first of all, education requires true knowledge. Next, we see the importance of instruction. And it's not the same. Let me give you the definition. It's the act of teaching or informing the understanding in that which was before ignorant. Okay. The fact that you need education proves that you're ignorant in some area of your life. Now, we don't want to say, I know, we all want to say, I know everything. We don't want to say I'm ignorant. But honestly, we are ignorant of things. When we sit there and listen and someone teaches something and we go, wow, really? That means before you said, wow, really, you were ignorant of it. Okay? So ignorant people need to be educated. And that's us. We are oftentimes ignorant. We need to be taught. All right, let's continue with the definition. It says precepts, and precepts are commands or commandments, conveying knowledge. So they're precepts conveying knowledge. Notice that instruction is the idea of conveying knowledge. So you can't have proper instruction unless you have proper knowledge, right? So if you've got someone who's up there, you've got a teacher trying to teach something, and they don't have the truth, they don't have the right facts, what kind of instruction is going to happen? Not much good, right? Like I said in the beginning, it all hinges on the foundation of knowledge. We need right knowledge. We need truth. But then we need the proper instruction of that truth. You know, someone has to teach children the truth. Someone has to teach us truth. Now, over the years, the public schools have experimented with all sorts of learning programs where the teacher was only the guide rather than the instructor. Right? You know, let the children, you just go to the class and you just kind of talk to the children, then you kind of let them decide what they want to learn that day, and then you just kind of guide them along. That's retarded. That's not instruction. It's not even instruction based on the definition of the world, of the word. All right, what do you do when you buy something that needs to be assembled? Craig, the box is filled with hundreds of pieces. Most of us men just start putting it together, right? I know how to put this thing together. I look at the picture and put it together, and sometimes you do. You get it about right. But then we run into a problem. You ever get it where you've got almost all the way done? You say, what's that piece over here for? And then what do? You go back and you look at the instructions that came with you. Oh. And your wife says, I told you should have read the instructions. You know, we have a manual. Okay? This is our manual for life. Everything that in here is true. Okay? Everything that the Bible says about science is true. Everything the Bible says about history is true. Everything the Bible says about math is true. You know, education, in a sense, is spiritual. Now, there's a lot of people who have education who aren't spiritual, but you can't be spiritual unless you have a proper emphasis on education. I mean, even in the Bible, you know, the Bible says, the Lord multiplied or the Lord added to the church. That's math. Okay? You have to have a concept of those things. You have to understand those things so you can understand the Bible. So it's a spiritual thing. God's given us a manual in 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for what? Instruction. Where does our instruction need to come from again then? It's the Bible. And our instruction is only as good as it conforms to the truth of the Bible. Now, I know a lot of our textbooks are filled with a lot of facts. You know, some of those facts are not unbiblical. They're true just because they are biblical principles. You might not find every word in the Bible that's in the textbook, but they're based on biblical truths and principles. And so our instruction is only going to be as good as it is true. Again, go back to the idea, what if the instructions are wrong? I have put things together where I actually tried to follow the instructions. And when I followed the instructions, it didn't work. And I got so irritated. This stupid idiot that wrote these directions. And I had to figure out how to put it together properly. Okay? So they didn't give good instructions. What happens when students are given bad instructions by teachers? Or people are given wrong instructions by pastors? Things are a mess, right? Example. In the public schools, you hear a lot of talk. Even in my day when I was in the public school, you know, they'd say, don't drink and what? Drive. Wow, that's some brilliant instruction, isn't it? No, it's not. When you base it on the Bible, you just say, don't drink. I mean, brilliant, huh? I mean, how much would be solved right there? Don't drink. Who ends up with a better education? The one that's based on man's whims or the one that's based on the Bible? The Bible. How about the educational system that teaches kids to have safe sex? Well, they don't have the Bible as their foundation. If they had the Bible as the foundation, they'd know that God says whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. So, which one do you think we should follow? You know, the instruction is based on knowledge. So if you've got bad knowledge, bad teaching, you bad knowledge, you're going to have bad teaching. When you kick God out of a school, you kick God out of your life. Some of you come to the Christian school, by the way, and God's not in your life at all. We're trying to get him in your life. We're trying to, your parents bring you to church. They put you in the Christian school. We teach, we preach, but you don't want it. You're not going to have a good end. So to have a proper education, you have to have true knowledge, sound instruction, and thirdly, understanding. That's the next word. Again, see, they're not all the same. These words don't, they're different words because they have different meanings. Understanding. Just because a teacher gets up and teaches the truth in a good, proper manner doesn't mean the students are going to get it and live right. They have to have an understanding of it. And a lot of that has to do with the teacher. The teacher has to help make ensure that they have an understanding. As parents, we have to ensure that our children understand what they're learning in church and at home. You know, talk to them. What are you getting out of your devotions? You should know where they're reading. What are you getting out of their devotions? Well, I don't know. What'd you get out of church? What'd you get out of family devotions? You know, you have family devotions. Ask some questions. If they have no clue, either they weren't listening or they weren't listening. Or you might have to go back and explain some of the truth again to them. Instruct it a little bit better. Use a little bit more different illustrations. Do something to get the truth across. Now, while I was over in Zambia, there was a some of the guys came and told me about something that happened. There was a camp meeting. They'd have camp meetings out in the bush sometimes. So some of the girls from a village were at this camp meeting. It was a Seventh-day Adventist preacher that was up preaching. He, you know, that verse that says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's a true verse. I don't know how he was teaching it. But I sure know that the understanding was wrong, because some of the girls, and I know that their teaching on salvation is different from ours also. I could go into a whole dissertation on that. But those girls, some of those girls walked away thinking, or with the understanding that he that has a son has life. And they went out and got pregnant out of wedlock to have a baby so they could go to heaven. Now, you say, that is stupidity. What it was a lack of understanding, right? People are often filled with a lack of understanding. That's an extreme example, but that's what happens. So let's get back to that illustration of the box of pieces that you just bought. Okay, you've read the instructions. How many times have you read the instructions and you've read them and you reread them and you still had no idea what it was trying to say? I mean, I've been there. You know, you try to put some of these locks together for some of these doors. You know, you've got all these pieces and they got arrows going this way and this illustration is, it's like, I look at it and I look, forget it. I'll figure this out on my own. But no, what you have to do is you have to read it again. You have to take more time. If there's no understanding, you need to reread it. You need to get more acquainted with the facts. And when you don't understand something, you need more repetition of, you see, repetition is the key of learning. So parents and teachers need to go over and over and over the same things. Have you ever said, man, seems like I'm telling my kids the same thing over and over and over again. I'm tired of it. That's part of education. They don't got it yet. So you keep giving it until they get it. Sometimes you really give it to them, right? That's why they have homework. That's why they have tests. And parents, talk to your kids. Ask them what they're getting out of school. Oh, I don't know. What'd you learn in chapel?
I don't know. He was telling some pretty funny stories.
I mean, the definition of understanding, by the way, is comprehending. Apprehending the ideas or sense of another. So hopefully the person teaching has some sense so that it can be attained by the person who's supposed to be learning. So when people don't have the right knowledge, they're not going to have the right kind of instruction. How much understanding is going to happen? Not much. You see how it builds? So it's the apprehending of the ideas or sense of another or of a writing, learning or being informed. Now, understanding leads to success. Let me read a verse to you in Psalm 119, verse 34. Psalmist said, give me understanding. Okay, so what we're talking about at this point. Understanding. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. In other words, before he was going to be successful in doing what God wanted him to do, he first had to have understanding. Does God want you to do something? Ask him for understanding. Because when you get understanding, you'll be able to do it. Actually, understanding precedes obedience too, doesn't it then? Give me understanding and I shall keep thy law. I'll obey when I have understanding. Now, that doesn't take away the fact that when you get to little kids, and you teach them to obey even if they understand or don't understand. I know that principle. And that's not trying to take away from that. But if we do understand, and when we do understand, we do have an easier time of doing something, don't we? Right? If someone's never won a soul before, and they show up for soul winning, and you just send them out with someone else who's never won a soul before, and say, go win a soul, they're going to look at you. They have no understanding. Okay, they need some help. They need some instruction. Right? They'll be much more comfortable doing it when they understand how to do it. Now, what about failure? Failure shows a lack of understanding. All right, so a kid bombs a test.
I got a bad grade.
And it's bad that they have a bad grade. But the test was actually quite successful then, wasn't it? It showed that there was a lack of understanding. Are we just trying to get our kids to have great grades, or are we trying to get our kids to learn something? If they're just focused on the good grades, well, and you're just focused on the good grades, you're going to miss the whole point of the grades. They're just indicators of what they've learned. We're trying to make sure they have understanding. We've got knowledge. We've got instruction. And we're trying to, hopefully, prayerfully, instill some understanding, whether it's the academic area or it's a spiritual error. When you come to church, you know, we can preach the truth. The instruction can be right down the line. And how many times, though, do people walk out with a total different interpretation of what you just said? they interpret what you say instead of understand what you say. I mean, I've had some people over the years, they go out and do something crazy. I said, what'd you do that? Well, you were preaching the other day and you said this and this. That's not what I said. You didn't understand. You know, a lot of that is because people hear what they want to hear. They didn't want to understand. So, failure shows a lack of understanding. Tests are good for that. You know, God gives us all tests as a Christian. Sometimes we pass our tests. Sometimes we fail our tests. And you'll never move ahead in life until you pass the test. And the reason why you're not passing the test that God keeps putting in front of you is because you haven't understood what he's trying to teach you. It's good to get in the Bible and get an understanding of what he wants. And that's the truth we're trying to instill in our children when they come to school. We want them to learn so they can be useful to God. All right? We've got to strive for understanding and trying to comprehend. You know, when you come to church, try to understand. Maybe I'm not clear, but try to understand. Ask questions. Talk to your spouse. Talk to somebody. Try to understand what's being taught. In school, if you don't understand, call the teacher. Ask not your friend who's the dumbest kid in the class. Right? You can ask your parents some things. But some things, I'm sorry, I'd have to go take the class. And I'm not ready to take the class yet, okay, before I could teach it to you. But that's why we have teachers who give you their phone numbers. No, we got to pay attention. See, a lot of times we don't comprehend, we don't have an understanding, we don't apprehend the truth because we're not paying attention. When people come to church, it's not, and they don't understand, because it's not because they don't, it was so deep. It was a lot of times because they didn't have a heart to understand it. We got to want to understand. But just because a person comprehends the truth doesn't mean he's truly learned it. How many times have you, or you yourself, or your kids, they know what is right. They've been taught what is right. And they understand how to do it and why they should do it. But they still don't do it. And you don't do it sometimes. Why? Because that's, oh yeah, you've got the knowledge, you've got the instruction, you've got understanding, but you're missing one thing. You don't have any wisdom. And that's where wisdom comes into play. That's the fourth thing. The wisdom is defined this way: the right use of knowledge. Knowledge is great, but if you don't do anything with it, what good is it? You've got to put it to practice. Knowledge is also the precepts, conveying knowledge. There's the idea again. And practical wisdom is nearly synonymous with discretion. So education then is a process. You need the right kind of knowledge, the right kind of instruction of that knowledge, the right understanding of what's been taught. Then finally, you'll have right living. Or you can have right living if people apply it. Now, the world has its own source of knowledge, its own source of instruction, and its own brand of wisdom. All week long, we've heard on the news about a man named Robin Williams. And one thing that keeps coming up is how brilliant he was. No, really, you hear that. He was a brilliant comedian. He was a genius. I'm sorry, I think he was missing something. Okay? He just hung himself. And the whole world is going to go around talking about brilliant and how genius he was? No, that was the depression that got him. And you shouldn't be criticizing him. Wait a minute. Why was he in depression? Has he not had a drug and alcohol problem for years and years and years and years? Does not sin bring misery and bondage? Doesn't it bring discouragement? You know, if you follow the Bible, You know, I think I'll take what I believe about wisdom and knowledge over what they believe. Okay. Many smart people don't know how to live. They might have knowledge, but they don't have any wisdom. Now, there's a difference between intelligence and wisdom also. Many people say that the man who lives in the White House is extremely intelligent. That's what they say. They say he's extremely intelligent. If that's true, it might be true. Say, no, there's no way. It might be true. But one thing I can say based on his actions is that he has little or no wisdom. Okay? Time after time, he makes wrong decisions. Now, I'm not criticizing him. I'm just making an observation. He promotes abortion, homosexuality, socialism, and on down the line. All of those are contrary to the Bible. So he's got a wrong foundation for knowledge. And if wisdom is the right exercise of knowledge, if he's got the wrong perception of knowledge, he's going to have wrong living. Not him only, us too. The more you conform to the world's way of thinking and raising your kids and having your marriage and all of that, and spending your money, the more you focus on all that, you know, people read the Dave Ramsey's books and all that, and you give the 10%. You know what? I'm sorry. Dave Ramsey's not a member of Fairhaven Baptist Church. 10%? I mean, you haven't even given yet. All you did was give back to God what he gave you. You've tithed. You've obeyed. But you haven't even given an offering yet. What I'm saying is, we get so duped by the philosophies and the teachings and the writings of all these people out there, and we think, hey man, I'm doing all right. We don't have any wisdom. You want wisdom? Get in the book. Many people have no knowledge of the truth, so they can't live right. Again, knowledge from the Bible is the foundation for right living. Proverbs 1:7, listen to this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. In our school, whether it's Fairhaven Baptist Academy, Fairhaven Baptist College, or whether it's in our church, Fairhaven Baptist Church, people come and they're given wisdom. No, they're given knowledge, and they're given wisdom to know what to do with that knowledge. They're given instruction on how to do all that, and people despise it. That means they just disregard it. Despise doesn't mean just hate. You just disregard it. This is how you should raise your kids. Well, you just disregard it. This is what you should do with your finances. You just disregard it. This is how you should have your marriage and how you can have a good marriage. And you just disregard it. Who does that? Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Education is spiritual. And we need education. Bible-based education. Some people know what's right, but they choose not to do it. How about Proverbs 17:16? Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom? Listen to this. Seeing he hath no heart to it. He's got no heart for wisdom. Who's that? A fool. They come to church and they listen, but they don't listen. They don't have a heart for it. They go to school. I don't like this subject. They don't have a heart for it. They're not going to learn anything. They sit in family devotions. They twiddle their thumbs. They stare off into space and you let them do it. They have no heart for it. You know, people can memorize verses. They can hear the teaching and even understand those truths, but they don't act upon them. Let me say, we want to do more than fill our kids' heads with facts. We want them to be able to do something with those facts. That's wisdom. Taking what you know and doing something with it. A wise person is not one who gets good grades. A wise person is one who knows how to live. And that's what we need. We need more good living. Wisdom is taking what you know and doing something with it. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And what are you supposed to also get with it? Understanding. Put it all together. Let's go down to the bus barn. I don't know if they still do this. Make that model of the engine. You still do that? All right. Is that this semester? Okay. You go down in the model. And I just happened to look it up. I don't know if it's the right, same one, but there's a V8 engine. 1/4 scale. All right. Then I'm right then. 314 parts. We're going to put this model together. Knowledge says, I know there's 314 parts here. Instruction says, here's what you do with each part. Understanding says, oh, I get it. If I follow the instructions and I turn the crank, it's going to work. Wisdom stops talking about it and puts together the model. Okay? Wisdom always does something. Turn to Proverbs 8, if you would. We'll close. Wisdom always does something with what it knows. You're not wise because you know a lot. You're wise when you do something with it. We got a lot of educated idiots in this world. And we have some very intelligent people who even come to our schools. They know it all. They know it all. They got great grades, but they have no heart for wisdom. You know what that makes them? A fool. Great grades, but they're a fool. Why? They won't do something with what they know. Proverbs 8 tells you why we need wisdom. Verse 35 and 36. For whoso findeth me, this is talking about wisdom, findeth what? Life. You want life? Get some wisdom. And shall obtain what? Favor of the Lord. So wisdom brings life and it brings blessings from God. So when Brother Armacost gets up and talks about the opportunities to come to the college or to take a class, you have an opportunity to get more wisdom, more knowledge, to get instruction, to have understanding so you can live better. Wow. That's pretty good, isn't it? Verse 36, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and all they that hate me love death. You sin against wisdom, you hate yourself, and you're going to bring destruction on your life. But those with a good education are going to have a good life, a godly education, and the blessings of God. Which do you want? Which do you want for your life? Which do you want for your children? So then what can you do? I'll leave you with this challenge. What can you do to improve your knowledge, your instruction, your understanding, and your wisdom? Don't just take what you get and leave it on the shelf. Do something with it. That's wisdom. Father, we pray that you will help us to have the right view of education, but not just the right view, to do something with what we hear and learn. Make sure we have a good understanding. Thank you for our schools. Thank you for our church. Thank you for your word that makes all of that possible. Lord, may we purpose in our hearts to seek after wisdom and to do something with what we know. I pray you bless us as we enter in another school year. Thank you again for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.